just to go back to yesterday, you're asking about why we need the lashon of ein and the balik, right? That reshut bahan. Why do you need that extra lashon? Why can't you just say, you know, masha, that it'd only be valid for masha at no sefer no tein lepicha? So happens to be that Luke the Prishua asked that question. And he leaves it as a tzarachion. He says he doesn't know. But the Taz and the Shach both say that it's pashut, that you have to have that lashon. Neither of them really explain clearly why they think that, but they think it's a kal v'chomer. That if the first lashon doesn't work alone, then it's just the second lashon will not work. But the basic premise, I think what they're saying is that the second line, that you can only have it for masha at no seif no take the picha, would not be sufficient because you never exclude the baal. I think, Jeffrey, you were explaining something like that yesterday, which was that you have to, at some point, you have to establish that the husband has no rights here, and then you can talk about what her rights are in the object. That you have to have a prelude or some sort of introduction to what is exactly transpiring over here. That's the basic gist of what they were saying. Again, I don't think it was so clear, but I just wanted to go over that because you asked about that yesterday. All right, well, now we're going to start with the Mishnah. The bottom of Pechet Amud Bet. The Neder Almano Grusha Yakuma Leha. And so that's the Neder Almano Grusha Yakuma Leha. This is a woman who is in her, it's Pasuk Yud in the Perek, that a woman who's in her own, on her own, she is no longer has a Baal or a father who is going to be made for in the Dorin. Kate said, what's the case of Neder Amunah Grusha Yakuma Leha? Amra Harini Nazira Lachar Shloshim Yom. She says, I will be a Nazir after 30 days. Apo Pishin Nitzet Tovachu Yom Ed Yom. What happens is she gets married within that 30-day window. Eni Yochel Lafer. The husband cannot be Mefer the Nedarim. Right? Nadra Behibah Shut Abal. But the other way around. If she takes a Neder and she's in the possession, means she's still married, then Mefer law. Kate said, how does this work? Amra Harini Nizirala Akar Lamed Yom. She says, I will be a Nazir after 30 days, or Nazir after 30 days. Apo Pishinit Alma or Nit Garsha B'toch Lamed Yom. Even though she gets divorced or she is widowed within that 30-day period, Harizeh Mufar. If the Baal was made for it on Biyom Shemo, that Hapara still works. Nadra Bo Bayom. If she took a Nether on that day, Vinit Garsha Bo Bayom, was divorced on that day, Yakzira Bo Bayom. And then they remarried on that day, Enu Yochel Hafer. Once he takes her back, he cannot be Mefer the Nidorim, because a Baal is not Mefer the Kodman, right? He can't be Mefer in things that took place prior to the marriage. The Klal, Kol Yotzalu, Shut Atzma Sha'akat, a woman who becomes, is on her own, has her own rights at any moment in time, Enu Yochel Hafer, then nobody has those rights any longer to be Mefer the Nidorim when she comes into a position where she will, you know, be under someone else's auspices in terms of marriage, for instance, where she gets married again, there, even though the Baal has rights to be made for the Nedarim, that which she took when she was single are her own, and he cannot be made for them. So Tanya, never bright, so. Almano Ugrusha, so let me just, Almano Ugrusha, that, what the pasuk that we quoted, Neder Almano Ugrusha Yakuma Leha, right, the Ram points out that he thinks that the pshat, the reason that the Gemara or the Mishnah is going this way, is because the pasuk pshat cannot be, right, that she's divorced or she's, widowed, because that's obvious. I mean, who is there to be made for the Nedarim? There's no one there to be made for the Nedarim. So it must be that the pasuk is talking about a case where she either didn't marry prior to this, and then when she got married, then she was, we're asking whether she can be made for the Nedarim, and I would say no, it's still in her own rights. So again, that's why the Mishnah went into this not straightforward case where you would say a Neder Almanah, Ugrusha is straightforward. She takes a Neder, and then nobody can be made for it. Why did they come up with this complicated case? She takes a Neder, and then she gets married. Because, under the Pashup Shot, you don't need a Pashup to teach you that when she's divorced, or when she's an Almanah, that she's on her own. I mean, because who would have rights to her? It can't be the husband. There is no husband here. It can't be the father because she's already been married. She's out of his, once she's married, she's out of his possession. There's nothing to talk about anymore. Alright. So now just, the Gemara continues. Tanya. Almano Grusha She Amra. Right? The Almano Grusha that we're talking about. Areni Nizira Likish She Enase Venisate. I will be a Nazir when I get married. Right? So it's an interesting case. Because what do we have here? We have a case where she's taking the nether prior to marriage. But she says the nether will only be effective when I get married. So does the Baal have right to that or not? Because his marriage is what's triggering the nether. He's the trigger for the nether. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Yefer. Rabbi Shmuel says you be Mayfair, and Rabbi Kiva Amar Lo Yefer. So this is my focus. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel we've seen before. Right? The Ron actually quoted it a couple of days ago. He quoted it from the Yerushalmi. There's my focus, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, about a basic point. What is that? When do we consider the point of nether? The point of nether be Amirat HaNether, when you actually state the nether, or Bechalus HaNether, when the nether is effective. What do we consider the actual date? We had this in Machlokas in Yerushalmi between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, which is, when does the nether consider it to be the nether? Is it be Amirat HaNether, when you state the nether, or is it Bechalus HaNether, when the nether becomes effective? So it's exactly what our mission is talking about. When she says, I will be in the Zirah in 30 days. When is it considered her nether? Is her nether when she says the nether? And that's when we look at whether who has the rights to be made for nether? Or is it when it becomes effective in 30 days? So the same thing over here. When she says that I will be in the Zirah when I get married. So now when is this nether, when do we focus on this nether? Do we focus on the nether? She took the nether when she was still single. And therefore, the husband cannot be made for it. That's the position of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva believes that we go after Amirat HaNether. After whenever you say the nether, whenever you've actually uttered the nether, that's the effective point. Not effectiveness, but that's the point of nether with regards to who can be made for the nether. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel believes that it's Chalus HaNether. When the nether becomes effective, that is when we consider the nether, or when we consider who can be made for the nether. So in this case, when she says, I will be in the Zirah when I get married. According to Rabbi Akiva, there's nothing to talk about. She can't be made for the nether. He can't. I'm sorry, the Baal cannot be made for the nether because...
She was married.
Right. She took it when she was single. The nether was uttered when she was single. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it goes after Chalus HaNether. When's the nether Chal? When she gets married. When she gets married, then the Baal can be made for the nether. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you cannot be made for such a nether, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, you can be made for such a nether. And then, the opposite would be true. Alright, the other way around. I'm just gonna skip these two words, I'll come back to them in a second. Eshet Ish, a woman who's married. Shamra, Harini Nizirah Lesheikaresh. I will come in Nizirah when I get divorced. Vinit Kersha, and then she gets divorced. Rabbi Shmuel married Lo Yefer. Rabbi Akiva married Yefer. Why? So it's the exact opposite. Over here, Rabbi Akiva says the Baal has control because the Amir Sanedah was when she was married. And when the Chalus Sanedah, when does the Nedah become effective? Only when she's divorced. So Rabbi Shmuel says, no Nedah, because, no Hefara, because the Chalus Sanedah is after they're already divorced, when he's no longer the husband. And that's what that little, in the middle there, that thing says, Simona Yalali, right, is the order in which the Mishnah is, it's just the Simon for Yefer and Lo Yefer. If you see that, so the first, Rabbi Shmuel says Yefer, then Rabbi Kiva says Lo Yefer. Then Rabbi Shmuel says Lo Yefer, and Rabbi Kiva says Yefer. So that's an acronym for the Yefer, Lo Yefer, Lo Yefer, Yefer. It just gives the order of the quotes here from the Tosefta of the positions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. That's what that Simon Yaluli is. Alright, now, Amar Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, Harehu Omer. It says, V'neder almano ugrusha. Right, says neder amana grusha. That's the pasuk that we're darshaning over here. Achihei neder b'sha'at amanut grishim. Until the neder, what's the neder? That means the chalos neder. It has to be that the neder is effective while she's an almana ura grusha. Right, whereas he was suffer. Hari omer kol asher asra al nafsha. Right, kol asher asra al nafsha is the end of that pasuk. Right, the pasuk says neder amana grusha kol asher asra al nafsha yakum aleha. It's a kol asher asra al nafsha. When are you oser the item? That's when you samira, when you say it, right? Very good. So that's it. So that's what Rabbi Kiva says. Rabbi Kiva savar hari umer kol asher asra al nafsha achi yisrei neder b'shat amanut gushim. It has to be the amira neder at the time of amanus ugrishin. So now, who is the author of our Mishnah? Right. Our Mishnah seems to indicate. Think about our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, if a woman says, in 30 days, I will become a Nizirah, and in the interim she gets married, right? What does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says, the new husband cannot be made for the nether. So who is that like? Rabbi Akiva is going after the Amira's Haneder, and same thing in the second case. The second case where she says, I will be in Nazir on 30 days, and then she gets divorced. There we say that the Baal can be Meshach the Nether. So again, that's Rabbi Akiva going after Amira. So that's what you figured out, is what Rav Chisda is about to say. I'm Rav Chisda, Masnisan, Rabbi Akiva. Alright, that our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. So, Abaye Amar. So Abaye is going to say, well, we don't want to say our Mishnah is solely Rabbi Akiva, because there are Filu, Tema, Rabbi Shmuel. Even Rabbi Shmuel can be the author of our Mishnah. Masnisan, Talya Nafsha, Yome. Our Mishnah, the premise or the trigger for the nether is simply in a number of days. Right? So the Tosefta, right, is Talya Nafsha B'Nisuin. Right? So the Tosefta has to do with her being married or not being married. Shalma Yome, Belonit Garsha, Shalma Yome, Belonit Pataba. Right, that works by our Mishnah. So what's the difference? At least according to Abaye, Rabbi Shmuel might have a different opinion according to Abaye, depending on how the nether is structured. In an Amirat Nether, when you say the nether, that's what Rabbi Akiva says, that's what matters when you say the nether. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it's the Chalos of Nether. When the nether is effective, that's what matters. So now, when does Rabbi Shmuel say the effectiveness of the nether matters? That's only when the effectiveness is premised on a certain circumstance or unknown event. I mean, that we wait, because if she says it's totally of her getting married or totally of her getting divorced, right, that is something that may never happen or could happen, may never happen, and therefore the utterance of the nether may not have significance. It would only be the chalos of the nether when that event happens that makes it significant. Whereas, if she takes a nether that has a fixed amount of time, says this will be effective in 30 days, then maybe even according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Amirat HaNeder is important. Why? Because the Chalos HaNeder is going to happen no matter what. There's no question that the Neder will be effective. You just have to wait the appropriate amount of time and the Neder will be effective. There's no question mark about the Neder. Maybe in that case, Rabbi Shmuel will agree. And that's what Abaye is saying. Rabbi Shmuel can even be the author of our Mishnah. Because where he disagrees in the Tosefta is when she says, I won't be Nazir until I'm married. Or, I won't be Nazir until I'm divorced. In that case, those are unknown events. So only when the Chalos HaNeder happens, that'll be significant. In our Mishnah, here it says, I'll be in a Zirah in 30 days. Irrespective of whether she's divorced or not divorced. Irrespective of whether she's married or not married. And therefore, that might be enough to say that we go after Amirat HaNeder and not Chalos HaNeder. So if you see this, here, if you look in the Ran, right across, where you see the Ran, in the narrow section of the Ran, about the midway down in the narrow section of the Ran, Afilu Tema Rabbi Shmuel, right? The Afilu Tema Rabbi Shmuel, in that narrow section of the Ran, about midway. Right? The Chi Azul Rabbi Shmuel Batar Halus HaNeder. When does Rabbi Shmuel say we go after the effectiveness of the Neder? Hani Mila Ki Talya Nafsha Minisuin or Begirushin. When she ties herself to marriage or divorce. Why it's impossible for her to be in a single state, right, in that nether. Because by definition she either will be divorced or will be married when the nether takes effectiveness. So therefore her Amira and the Chalos HaNeder by definition have to be in separate, right, separate states for her, either married, unmarried, or divorced or married. Severely, the Rabbi Shmuel says, "Listen about the Chalos HaNeder." In that case, we go after Chalos HaNeder. But in our Mishnah, the Lo Talya Nafsha B'Yome, since it's only dependent on days, the Shalma Yome belongs in Saba, Shalma Yome belongs in Garsha. You can have these days be happen, and her state will not change. She will remain married, or she'll be still single. And the days don't determine whether she will change state to being. So Rabbi Shmuel only says that it's an issue of changing to Chalos, it's only Chalos HaNeder when you are going to for sure change states of being. And when your net is premised on changing states of being. Whereas, when it's not certain, you know, when you depend on it, when you say days and not the Gerushin or the Nisuin, in that instance, we're going to say that even Rabbi Yishmael agrees that Amir HaNeder is what's important, because you're not for certain going to change your status.
It's not so much, he's not tying it as yet to the definitive, like, amount of time. It's the state.
Right, not what I said, right? That's not what I said.
Yeah.
This is the Rana thing that has to do with the, within the context of your Neder, the Amir and the Chalos HaNeder, can they be in a single state of being, or do they must be in separate states of being? If they could be in within a single state, for this woman, then we're going to say it goes after Mira as a nether.
Whatever.
Right? And then if they have to be for certain that they're in two states, then he'll go after the cause of nether, the effectiveness of the nether. But I said, I think it's just that the Ron statement, what I said was an easier way of explaining it, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Ron says. I forgot who said that, what I was suggesting. That the, that has to do with whether it's a, whether there's some sort of conditional aspect to the nether versus something that's a fixed nether where then you know that the close of nether for certain will take place. Okay? Alright, now the Gemara continues and deals with the second half of the Mishnah. Zat Klal, right? The Mishnah gives a general principle that goes Shiyot L'Rishusat Mashachat Enu Yochel L'Hapar. So we had that in the previous parak, where also the Mishnah made such a statement as Zat Klal, but that was by an Arusa and not by an Isua. Alright, so the Gemara says Zat Klal D'Tani Gabi Nara Marua. So we know that when it said Zat Klal, this principle by Nara Marua saw in the previous parak, right, that is, that's who yay, what did that come to include? Halakha av, im shluchei aval, shalakha shluchei av, im shluchei aval. If, when the father was giving his daughter over to the husband, right, when does the father lose his rights? And so over there, we said that in a case where the father goes with the shluchei aval, right, along with the messengers of the Baal, if the messengers of the father continue with the shluchei aval, then, the father still has rights in his daughter. Meaning that until the father actually gives over his daughter to the husband, right, the father still has rights to be made in the nether. And his rights can be extended, even though the woman is now in, quote unquote, in possession of the husband, because she's been given over to the shluchei aval or to the Baal himself. But as long as the father is still there or accompanying him, we don't consider that an effective giving over of the daughter to the husband, and the father still has rights to be made. So in our parak, what is that call coming to include? If the father gave it over to the messengers of the Baal, or the messengers of the father gave it over to the messengers of the Baal, Shinabal Maker Bekodman. Right, that's it. If the father's rights are terminated at that point in time, then the husband also loses his right to be made for Nidarim that preceded their Nisuin, right? Because Nisuin is a cutoff point. The only reason the husband can be made for Bekodmin by Nara Muraso is because the father is involved. And the father was a party before they got engaged. But here, once they get Nisuin, the father's cut out of the picture. Since the father's cut out of the picture, the husband can no longer be made for Nidarim that were before the effective date of their Nisuin, because you no longer have the father involved in the process. And when does that cut off happen? That happens as soon as the father gives over the daughter to the possession of the husband, either to his messengers or the messengers of the father give over to the messengers of the Baal, even though, I mean, that's quote unquote, that's the point of Nisuin, that'll be the cutoff point where the father relinquishes all his rights to his daughter. Alright, I'm going to do something a little backwards here. I'm going to read the Gemara with you, and then we'll come back and read the Mishnah here. So if you just turn the page to page that, I'm going to bet. You'll see why afterwards, why I'm going to do this.
But the poor ending, like,
Right, for okay. Not just Benavo, but it's, there is a logic to it. All right, so we're going to just start. All right, so the Gemara starts, Amar Bihuda Marav, right? It's a very short Gemara, right? Amar Bihuda Marav, Zutibir Bihuda. Our Mishnah that we just didn't read, that is, that's a Dibihudu. Aval Chachamim Omrim, Kamzei Shlosh Na'arot Nidrahem Kayamim. There are three types of women whose nidarim are mikuyam. Nobody has rights to be made for those nidarim. And what are those? When is a woman, basically what you're asking is, when is a woman in her own rights, right? When does she have no one else, when is she under no one else's auspices, right? That is, either possibility she's not married, right? Obviously she's not married. But if she's not married, it's a possibility the father has rights to her. When does the father lose rights to his daughter? So, right, so there are a number of ways the father can lose rights to his daughter, right? What are they? They are age, right? They are death. The father no longer exists, right? Or if the father married off the daughter and then she's divorced, then she loses rights. So that's what the Chum say. They give three major categories of women who I don't know if you call them women, but they're girls. They're pretty young here. It's been talking about, you know, young girls that are on their own when it comes to the Dharma. What are they? The Nidhurim Kvim Bogeret. Right? A girl who reaches the age of a Bogeret, then her father no longer has rights over her. She's no longer a Nara. Right? So she's not a Nara. The father relinquishes her, no longer has rights. She's on her own at that point in time. The other possibility is she's Toma. If the father passes away. So even prior to her being a Bogeret, if her father passes away when she's a Nara, then she's also on her own because nobody has rights to be made for neder. She's not married. She's not even engaged. And her father's not in existence anymore. So no longer is there anybody to be made for her neder. So she's on her own at that point in time. The possibility is Yisoma v'chaya. It's not that the father literally passed away, but a case where she was married off, the father married her off, and then she was divorced. So now she is an orphan in her father's lifetime. Her father's still alive. Her father has relinquished all rights to her when he married her off. Now her husband has rights to her. Her husband divorces her, then the husband no longer has any shaykhus to her, and now again, she's on her own, even though she hasn't reached the age of Bulgaret, right? Even though she's still an Arab. So she's three general categories of women or girls who have their own rights in the Darim, or nobody else has the rights to be made for them. And that again is a Bogaret, a Yisoma, and Yisoma B'chaye'ah. Three major categories. So why did I read the Gemara this way? It's because Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah is going to have nine categories. And truthfully, the nine categories are basically all permutations of these three categories. Right? And in the end, Rabbi Yehuda really only has three categories. He has the exact same three categories that the Rabbanan had. And the Gemara Yushalmi says that Rabbi Yehuda really thinks the same as the Chachamim. He just b'chaded at the Talmidim. She's trying to sharpen the Talmidim, and he gave them all these permutations. So if you really think about it, if you take each of these categories, and then you add other aspects to it, you can come up with three permutations for each of them. Those three permutations for each of them gets you to nine, right? Nine instead of three. So now we'll go back and read the Mishnah. I just wanted to give you the categories, because now the Mishnah doesn't really make so much sense, because he's just repeating over and over again the same general categories. Right? Tesha Na'arot, Nidraim Kaimim. There are nine Na'arot that have their Nidraim that you're not made for. Bogeret. Alright, so now, all of these, the first categories over here, have the first three categories are all categories of where she is. Is where she is a Yisoma Bakaya Av. Right? So she is a Yisoma. So what's the case here? Bogeret. Right? It's a case where she's a Bogeret. And, Behi Yisoma. And she's a Bogeret. And she is also a Yisoma. Right? So she came of age. And she's also a orphan. So both of those independently should have created and been sufficient. Each one independently should have been sufficient. Right now we have Nara. Right here is a case where she is a Nara. Ubogeret. So she's a Nara. And then Ubagra. And then she came of age. Behi Yisoma. Right? So then, and she's also a Yisoma. And then the third case is Nara. Right? A case where she's a Nara. Shalobagra. She did not come of age. Behi Yisoma. And she is a, right, an orphan. So, these are all cases, what? Where she is a Yisoma, right?
Yeah.
Where, here, if you look at the Ran, I'll read it quickly to you in the Ran, just to show you what the cases are here. If you look at the widest lines in the Ran, the first widest lines in the Ran, it says, Ramrina B'Yushalmi. You see that? Ramrina B'Yushalmi. Ramrina B'Yushalmi, the middle of the line, the first widest lines in the Ran, in the middle of the line. Ramrina B'Yushalmi, She'ap Rav Yehuda lo'amra elo l'chade behenet t'talmidim. That these really could all be summarized in three, and Rabbi Yehuda only did this to l'chade behenet t'talmidim. Alright? So you see that? Now it says, Bogeret, v'hi yitoma. Shenadra shehi Bogeret. So she took the nether when she was a Bogeret, when she was already of age. So that should have been sufficient in itself. V'hi yitoma b'chayav. She's also a orphan in the life of her father. Goshen Yisei b'damo n'itkarsha. Right? She got married and got divorced or widowed, became this. Then she got married, her father is out of the picture. Then the second case is Naru Bagra, Behi Yitoma, so just continuing the Ran. Shinadra, Kishi Nara, she took a nether when she was a Nara. Upagra, Bakar Mikane, and then she became of age. Right? And she's also in this point a Yitoma b'chayah. So even though technically when she was a nagar, her father should have had rights to her, but nevertheless, because she was already married and divorced, her father lost rights to her, and she's again a Yitoma in the life of her father. And the last case that we just read was Nara, turning the page in the round, the top of the round there. Nara, b'shat shenidrash. She was a Nara, the time finished. Lo bagra. She never came to a dying. V'hi Yitoma b'chayah. But she still was married and divorced, and then she's Yitoma b'chayah. And that's what he says. Bahana klata, you told me b'chayav kailu lulu. Right? So that's around these three. Why are these three all not, nobody has rights to be made for neder? Because in all these cases, she was married and got divorced. So she yisoma b'chayav. Again, even though yisoma b'chayav would have been sufficient, right? So then what do we go through? We go through all different iterations of that, or permutations of that. She's yisoma b'chayav when she's a nara. She's yisoma b'chayav when she's a bogeret. Right? And she's yisoma b'chayav when she was a nara and then became a bogeret. Alright, all of those are getting
it. She could be divorced or widowed.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Either case. Either case, right. Either case, her father, well, as soon as her father marries her, and soon she's out of the father's possession, so then how does she lose the husband's possession? It's either divorce or widowing. And now, the next three are all going to be categories of where her father passed away. So, Bogeret, she's already of age, Umeisavir, and her father passed away. Again, either one of those would have been sufficient, but here we're talking about, again, permutations of when her father passed away. It's Nara. She's a Nara, Bogeret, and then came of age, right? Umei Savi, and her father passed away. Or Nara, Shalobagra, or a case where it was a Nara, and she didn't come of age, but yet, Mei Savi, her father passed away. So in all these cases, she's on her own because her father passed away. Her father passed away, her father, nobody has rights to her anymore. Her, how old she is, should be irrelevant again. Whether she's a Nara or Bogeret, all should be irrelevant. And these three are categories of Mesaviyah. Now, obviously, the last three are going to be categories where she comes of age, Bogeret. Nara Shemesaviyah, Nara whose father passed away, Umishemesaviyah, and after her father passed away, Bagra, she came of age. Again, her father passing away should have been sufficient, but here we're going to focus on the category of Bagra, coming of age. Bogeret, Babiya Kayam, if she's of age, and her father's still alive, she's on her own again because she came to the age. The last one's Nara Bogeret. She was a Nara when she took the Neder, then she was Bogeret, and then she came of age. Be'aviyah Kayam, and her father's still alive. All of these, right, are cases where she came of age, Bogeret. And that's what's making her free of anybody being able to be made for the Neder. So if you don't marry, and by the way, all of these could be, some of these categories can be true when she's a Katana, not just a Nara, but the point is that Katana, the Nidre Katana are not relevant, so that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Rav Yehuda says, "Apa mesibi tok tana, even a woman, a person who marries off his daughter when she's at tana, right? Vinita almana nitkarsha, and then she was divorced or widowed. V'chazra etzlo, and she goes back to her father. Why? Because she's a tana. There's nowhere to go. She's not on her own. She needs her father still. But when she goes back to her father, nevertheless, adain v'chazra etzlo, adain he naro." And when she goes back to her father, she's still a Nara. Nevertheless, her father has no control in that case because she's Yisoma b'chayei ha'av. So even though she was a Kana, a Nara, all these categories, she's free because she's Yisoma b'chayei ha'av. Which is basically the classic case, to be honest with you, of where you have a woman being freed of anybody else is in this case where she's the Yisoma b'chayav, not having the father pass away, but where she was married off and then divorced, where, right, that she's gone. She's totally free and clear at that point in time. Right. Why is that biggest kiddush?
Because the father's still there and she's
right.
Still there.
Okay, I hear you. Right, she's still young, right? Okay, that she doesn't revert back to her father's house, right? Which is the case by Truma. Right? By Truma, if she gets married and then does not have children, and then is either divorced or widowed, and she goes back, Chazra the Beit Avia, she goes back to her father's house, and then can eat Truma or Maisa.
Unless she's had a child, the child's died, and that child had a child.
Right, right. Any offspring will block her from going back to her father's house.
Right.
Very good. It has to do with any offspring. As long as she has offspring, who would feed her, if they were a Kohen, would feed her Truma. If they're alive, they block her from going back to her father's house. But that's what Gedai is saying. The biggest kiddush is that even though she's going back, like in that case, she goes back to her father's house for Truma, she does not go back to her father's house with regards to Nidorin. Alright, now, we read the Gemara already, but now you understand why I read the Gemara first, is to give you the three major categories, and just to say that the Mishnah is based on that, or premised on that, those three categories. Alright, next Mishnah.
You don't want to do the Gemara first?
Right, this one's a little harder. Alright, this Mishnah is a little difficult because there are different Gersot in this Mishnah. You understand why the Ran and the Rosh changed the Gersot here, or not Gersot, the way they read the Mishnah is different. You'll understand why in a second, right? Tosfos does not read it that way, but because Tosfos doesn't read that, they changed the last line of the Mishnah. The last line of the Mishnah says Harizei Yefer, so that'd be Mayfair. So if you don't change the Gersot up front, or the explanation of it up front, like the Ran and the Rosh do, you're like, the Tosfos leaves it the way we read it, and then he has to change the last line to say Harizei Lo Yefer. Right? And so now, the reason why is, you're going to see in one second, it says, Konim, Sheninen Eliabo. And so, the simple, I read it like Tosfos, because that's the way the Mishnah reads right now. Okay, Konim, Sheninen Eliabo, Ulavicha. Right? I will not give any benefit to your father, or to my father. If I do anything for you. Right? If I do anything for you, then I will not, no longer be able to do anything for your father, or my father. So then, alright, so that's one nether. So now what's the problem? The conclusion of this Mishnah is Harizei Yefer. She can be made for a nether. The problem with this Mishnah is we just had a Mishnah that said that the Baal does not have a right to be made for a Darim, right? When the woman says, the Mishnah said, when the woman says, I'm Pei, I'm an Aleph, right? That's not the husband's business. She says, I'm not going to give any benefit to your father, your brother, my brother. We said the husband's out of luck. He can't be made for a nether. That's not inui nefesh. And that's not dvarim shebeino leveina. So over here in this case, what's the problem? The problem is that she's saying, I will not give any benefit to your father or my father if I do anything for you. So the, if I do, didn't do anything for you, she has to do stuff for her husband. So that would be, nether. So we'll say to her, go ahead and do for him, and trigger the nether. Why not? Then you don't have Dvarim Shemeinu Leveina, you don't have Inui Nefesh. Go ahead, let the nether go effective. Why not?
By making it dependent on her doing anything for him, she has a sort of disincentive to do something. In other words, if she's not going to benefit.
Yeah, but we're going to force her. We're going to say, you're Meshubah to him. Go ahead and do it and let the enemy trigger.
But that creates an element where it is Beinu Beinu. In other words, and part of the nether that she declared is Beinu Beinu.
Right, but that may not, it's not the nether, it's not a nether, and that's a good question. But it's not, that's what's going to be, if it's going to be shown now, when does deny matter or not matter? The truth is here, you should trigger the nether. And that's why the Balei Tosfos read at the end, Harizei Lo Yefer. They changed the Gersa to read that it will not be able to be made for the nether. That's how they solved the problem. Right? The only problem is that the next case, or then you have to read the next case, which is more, alright, so that's Harizei Lo Yefer. Now the next case you have to read is Harizei Yefer, which is, read the next case submission. She'eni nenet lecha, I will not give you any benefit. If I give benefit to your father or my father, then I will not give you any benefit. So again, you say, Harizei Lo Yefer, why? Don't do anything for your father or my father, and what? And you'll be fine. You can do everything you need for the Baal. Again, those are not any nefesh, not better than not. And she did, Harizei Lo Yefer. That's the way that Rabbi Eliezer reads the Lashon of Rabbi Eliezer that the Tosfos brings down. And the way the Ran and the Rosh leave the Gersa intact, there's their Yefer, but what do they do? They change the meaning of the word. But they don't say konim she'eni nehene. It's either konim she'ani nehene. That I will get benefit. So that's the other way around. We had that earlier again in the parak, that if a woman restricts herself from getting benefit from a single individual, the Baal can be made there. Because we said in the case that is considered eating nefesh, right? Not herself from getting benefit. So that's why they read the mission like this. Konim shani and then it really should be mei abba. They don't change that, but it should be konim shani abba ulavicha means I will not get any benefit from your father or my father. If I do for you. So now in this case you've generated where the tnai and the nether themselves are both problems of veino leveina. Right, these are all problems. These create problems for him. Both the Tznai and the Nether. So now, in that instance, since the Tznai and the Nether are both problematic, he can be made for the Nether because the alternatives, in a sense, are equal. The alternatives are just as bad. Either one's going to be a problem, and since either one's going to be a problem, we can't later do it and have the netter be effective, or don't do it, and the netter won't be effective because either situation is untenable, and everybody can be made for the netter.
How is her not getting benefit better than us? She's not going to get benefit from his father or her father.
Right, because that we had earlier in the parak, that's even Rabbi Yossi agrees, where she says, Oser Peros Olam Alai, or Oser Peros Kedmani Alai. She specifies an individual who she will not get benefit from, then he can be made for that nether. Right, that we had earlier. Even according to Rabbi Yossi, who says it's not, right, even when she specifies the Kedmani that has rolled stuff from it, that's not in your nefesh, but still pain all the way now. So, that's Rabbi Yossi. Remember, that's Rabbi Yossi. The Chachamim disagree and say that that is still a chalos and nether. So at minimum, it's a ben ol benah. I should say it that way. At minimum, it's a ben ol benah. It could be even, you know, a nefesh according to the Chachamim. So that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yossi's opinion, it's not even a nefesh, but it is ben ol benah. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. The Chachamim's opinion that it's even possibly, you know, a nefesh. Right? So that, at minimum, it's ben ol benah. Right, so now that's how they solve the problem. They leave the mission intact and say that it's hard to say yay fair, but they do it by changing the first section to read Shani, Nan, and it doesn't even read so smoothly, but they say basically that she's restricting herself from getting benefit from the father or the husband. And then again, the second half of the Mishnah makes sense. It says, if what? Imosiani al piaba. Then it is, where is this? Imosiani al picha. If I do something for you, Shani, Nan, I won't get any plecha. Imani al se. If I do for your father, or do for your, my father-in-law, then I will not be restricted by Yefer, and both these cases can be made for. So that's, alright, that's the Mishnah. If you just want to see the Ron inside, let's just read the Ron inside, just so you get a better flavor for what the Ron's saying. Here, if you look in the Ron by the Mishnah, so he says, Konim Shani Nanit, right? He doesn't say Shani Nanit, but says Shani Nanit. La'abo l'abicha, imani osa al-picha, Shani Nanit, l'cha, imosani al-piabo, al-pi, abicha. Harizei yokol afer, nirabeinai, v'lo zu'ab zu'ktani. Our Mishnah is a case of not only this, but this. Deitan ha'reishu v'lachud. If I had just written the first case in the Mishnah, sakadat k'mina b'shum ha'fi yokol ha'afer, why can she be made fair? B'shum z'mi hashta mitasro. Right away, she is asur. Either that from getting benefit from her father because of the neder, or that which she'll do for her husband because of the condition. So both of them came to lack of a chad mehanaf gavne mitzvarim the beinod beina. At minimum, each of these items is at least an issue of beinod beina. Therefore, he can be made from the nether. Because both the tnai ha-nether and the nether itself, at minimum, are a problem for their relationship. Their problem for their relationship, he can be made for it. Kevin shekain, chal ha-nether mikre. It's as if the nether was chal. Right, the problem of being made for a nether is that you have to have the nether become effective for him to be made for the nether. Over here, it may be that the nether never becomes effective because she's not going to, right, do anything for her husband. And then why can he be made for the front? Maybe he has to wait
until
she triggers the nether and then be made for the nether. Can she be made for the nether before it ever becomes effective? So the first clause in the Mishnah says yes, but why in that case yes? Because either way, no matter which direction she goes, it's a problem. If she keeps the tnai or if she triggers the nether, either one of them will be a problem. Therefore, we say he can be made for the nether. There's no way for it to escape being also in Benolvenah. But the second part of the Mishnah over there, the Hobbit's not The Shnai is not a problem over here. Because what's the trigger? That. Exactly. Right, if I, I will not get benefit from you. If I do for your father, my father-in-law, he can't be made in the nether until it is triggered. Why? Came to since her tnai is something, this is what you were trying to suggest, Shaul. I think this is exactly what you were saying. Since the tnai is something that will almost inevitably lead to the trigger of the nether, it's impossible for a woman not to do something for her father or for her father-in-law. It's nearly an impossible situation. Since that's an almost an impossible situation, it will be almost for certain that you will trigger the nether. If she triggers the nether, then it does become Vardin Shibeno Levena, because then should we also to do anything for her husband. So now, in that case, we also say, that's what he's saying. We'll do Abzu. Not only this, but even this. This is even more of a Kiddush, right? Then she can still be made fair. Even though the nether is never effective, we still allow you to be made for the nether. So that's what the Ran said. The Ran explains to the Mishnah that the nether is not effective in either section of the Mishnah. But the first section of the Mishnah, the Kiddush is, just because the nether is not chal, we allow you to be made for the nether. But in that case, we say that there's no escape option. Both options are bad. If she keeps the nether, or if she keeps the tnai on the nether. Either way, they're bein ol, bein not, and they create a problem for her. That's why you better make it. The second is the bigger Kiddush. Why? Because even though the tnai on the nether is not a problem, if she keeps the condition of the nether, no problem. No bein ol, bein not, and not inui nefesh, because she just doesn't have to do something for her father. She's not obligated to do anything for her father and father-in-law. And that's not considered bein ol, bein not. When you say I'm restricted about giving hanah to someone else, that would say the husband has no right to be naked. So her condition, so just let her not do for her father or father-in-law, and then she won't trigger the nether that will cause a problem for her and her husband. So that, the Mishnah's Kiddush is what? How is it yefer? Why? Because it could very likely to come to bein ol levena. Why is it very likely? Because it's almost impossible for her to hold back the next night.
If you that the second is bein ol levena, even though, even the first one, even though it's bein ol levena, but it could be that it could be a setback. Maybe it's something he doesn't care that much about. That, not like he has to trigger it. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it's more, you could say that the second one is the trigger so easy it's going to happen. The first one, you're right.
But we're lucky for, we're not worried about the trigger, we're worried about the fact that at this moment in time, why does he have a right to deal with this nether? Right. At this moment in time, do we consider him an effective party to the nether?
But as we say in the first one, maybe even though it's not the trigger, it's something to do with enough. Maybe it's not, you know, something that'll be mivatar, something that.
But even, that's not, the question of whether he decides to be mivatar or not.
Yeah. No, not mivatar, if he's mivatar on that.
I'm saying, but that's.
Kicking in the nether.
That's something that he can make a decision. He can make a kind of nether. It doesn't have to be mivatar. The one question is, does he have rights to the nether? Mm-hmm. Not whether he decides to or doesn't decide to, he's mivatar or not mivatar. The question is he in a position where he has rights to the nether? And the answer is yes, because.
Even the truth, but also not.
Exactly. So then he has rights. It can be mekayim. It doesn't have to be mekayim for the nether. And again, over here, the second fetish is that even though he doesn't have the tnai, he's not giving him rights access to the nether. Nevertheless, we consider it as if it is, because we consider it as if triggered the nether, because it's so likely to trigger the nether. All right, so now we can read the Gemara. Time to tell you, we have a price list. Any name of the Abba, Ulav Yikva.
It's so likely to trigger the nether in the first one.
Second case.
The second one.
In the first case, if either way, she's out of luck. Either way, it's been all the way now. According to the Ron's gear set. The Garen's gear says, I will not get in.
If she fails to trigger the nether, that's been all the way now.
No, both of them are been all the way now. Whether she fails or doesn't, either way, she's going to have the been all the way now. All right, so let's just quickly the Gemara Tanya. Shani Nenet Ta'aba, Ula Bicham, Yino Silapicha. Rabbi Nonton Omer Lo Yefer, V'chachamim Orim Yefer. So she says that... So that Ani, again, the Grand Chief, the gift is Ani Nani Ta'abal Abicha. Right? So if Ani Osel Abicha, I do to you, this is like our first case in our Mishnah, Rabbi Nathan Omer Lo Yefer, you cannot be made for it. Chomim Yefer. So Rabbi Nathan is the one who basically says it's not the trigger the nether, and then you can deal with it, right? Chomim Yefer, you can be made for it even before the nether is triggered. Netula Ani Min Yudim, Imisham Shayat Tacha. I'm restricted in having a Tashmish Amita with anyone, any Jew, if I have Tashmish with you. So Rabbi Yemeir, again, Rabbi Nathan says, Lo Yefer, and Chomim Omer Yefer. So again, these are cases like our Mishnah, where both the trigger, and the Tanai, and the Nether itself are problematic. And Chomim say, like in our Mishnah, Yefer, why? Because even prior to the Nether becoming effective, we say, there's enough of a problem here that he can be made from the Nether prior. Rabbi Nathan says, no, you gotta wait, and make the Nether be effective. Once the Nether is triggered, the Nether, when you trigger the Nether, then you can be made for the Nether. All right, so now, how Gavra teach Asra Hanayata the Alma Ale. There's this person who restricted himself in all Hanaf in the world. Question of what he asked for himself is all that we've shown here of different reasons. Either he restricted any benefit from anybody in the world, or he restricted getting any Hanaf at all from the world. Inatim Itita Kilotanina Hilchasa. And if I get married before I know Shas, she says, I'm restricted in all Hanaf in the world, right? Or I'm restricted from getting benefit by any Jew or any person in the world if I don't finish Shas prior to getting married. And that's Gemara in Kiddushin, right? That Reish Chaim Tzavarov, Yasuk B'Torah, how could a person, once he gets married, his obligations are so great that he won't be able to learn Torah. So a person should finish learning Torah and then get married, right? My focus on Gemara in Kiddushin. Right, B'Kapha B'Tovliya, B'Lam Tse L'Mitna. So he goes ahead. Now what this means, either right, B'Kapha is his hat, right? And Tovila is either, I don't know, Maklo is, the Ryan says it's a stick, Vitamilo in his bag. That means he tried to learn, Lam Sila Mitna, and he wasn't successful. He was unable to do it. He simply was incapable of learning it and getting through shots. He couldn't do it. That's one possibility. The other, we show him Tosus in the Rush, or no, that he, right, the gap of Tovila, I mean, of Tovila is something, is like a wheelbarrow, something that moves fruits in it, that he went to work. And because he worked, he was unable to, he continued, he was working, and he never had time to learn. So he was unable to learn, and now he wants to get married. Ata, Ravaka Barbahuna, Vishibshev Intiba Itita. So, he comes to report Rav Acha bar Huna, and he basically told him, go get married. That was, tricks him into getting married, right? Visarke Tina. And then, go ahead and, paint your face white. That's a, I don't know if that really was, paint your face white, or, put your body, make your body white. What that means, we'll see in a second. Alright, now what did Rav Acha bar Huna, we'll continue this tomorrow, but what did Rav Acha bar Huna basically do? Right? Couldn't even, can't even make for the nether. The question is, he wants, well, in our case here, we're talking about hafarsa nether, right? So hafarsa nether, can you be made for nether prior to its being triggered or not? That is machlokas chachamim and Rabbi Nathan. Rabbi Nathan said you can be made for beforehand, that's our mission, you can be made beforehand. Rabbi Nathan said you cannot be made for a nether until it's triggered. Question is by hafarsa nether. The chacham comes to be matir a nether. Can he be matir a nether prior to its being triggered or not? Right, so maybe, or it should be, it sounds like maybe it should be his parents going to say machlokas chachamim and Rabbi Natan. If haparah can only be done when it's triggered according to Rabbi Natan, same thing with haparah's nedarim shouldn't be able to be done once it's triggered. Whereas the chachamim believe you could do it beforehand. So too over here, what was Rav Acha bar Rav Huna doing? He was forcing the triggering the nedar so that he could go get haparah's nedarim. Right, because why? He could have been able to go and get haparah's nedarim, he could get haparah's nedarim prior to this. But if we needed him to trigger the nether, he basically tricks him into getting married so he'll trigger the nether, and then he can go ask for Hadar Sindar. So we'll see that tomorrow. That's what the Gemara is continuing.